Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat Shalom. We pray that you got a good night's sleep last night. Pray that you dreamt about the law and keeping of it. For Yah Elohim, our Elohim, is good and he is gracious, and his laws and his statutes and his commandments are righteous, worthy to be followed. On this morning, we will be starting off. We're going to go to Deuteronomy first this morning when we do start. And then we're going to go back to Genesis and start picking up the commandments that the Most High has given mankind and Israel. We want to understand and make sure that, you know, we are in knowledge, that we are not in our minds, in our imaginations, that we are not making things up as it pleases us, but we want strictly the word of the Most High. Let us do our state and our faith. So I want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We pray that you are having a blessed Sabbath, that if you are just starting and entering into it, that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High. If you are already into your Sabbath, that you have been eating from the Most High, or that you have gotten the prescribed rest as dictated by Scripture. Our statement of faith. I believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us lift up a hand clap of praise to our Elohim this morning. Hallelujah, Yah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you for this day, Father. We thank you for keeping us through the night. We thank you for your word, Father. It is our rock. We thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, all that you're going to do for us. We thank you for manifesting yourself before us, Father. Hallelujah. In your word, Father, we look for the days that we might, when we will see you, Father, and that we will be in your presence. Hallelujah, that we shall be like you. So, Father, we just want to give you glory, honor, and praise this morning and honor you in this your day. In the reading of your law, your statutes, and your commandments. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah to you, Yah, our Elohim. You are worthy of all the honor and all the praise. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads, wherever you may be at. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunities to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people, Israel, and that you would hear our supplications and our prayers. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And we are repenting from our wicked ways and we're turning from our sins, Father, and we are seeking to obey your voice. Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, but this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, that as many as you should call, that they should come and obey your voice. Now, Father, as we go to work into the kingdom, We ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach Express's name I pray. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading this morning will not be coming from 1 Kings. I want to come from the book of Deuteronomy. And we'll be reading from from several chapters in Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 19 through 28. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of Yah, your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love Yah thy Elohim, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and Yah thy Elohim shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other Elohims and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love Yah thy Elohim, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Yah sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Amen. 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 Let us do.
From the Most High, are they Hebrew? So
Pencil and paper from now on to take notes because we want to get this thing, even though I'm going to provide a document in the end, we want to get this thing down in us. One of the things that we learn in school that it is, we remember things that we write. If you are, you know, have a hard time remembering, typically the way the brain works, when we write something down, it's like we're writing it in our brain. So you want pencil and paper because we want don't want to be ignorant. We don't want the Most High to accuse us of having a lack of knowledge and concerning his word. Now, on this morning in our scriptural reading, I took us to Deuteronomy first. And I really want to get Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, because I want to set the stage for us. To understand, you have two choices. That's it. The Most High has never given us more than two choices. He's never left it to what we want to do. We have two choices, but really, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. So I want everybody to go there. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. I want you to see the two choices you have. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. You either have a choice to be blessed or to be cursed. There is no in between. There's no in-between. Verse 27. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. Let's read that again. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. On the flip side, verse 28. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. So you have a choice of being blessed or cursed. You are not, cannot be in between. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and let's get verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. I want us to understand that, you know, all this stuff about chances and all, you don't want to take that chance. And it's the Most High choice whether he is merciful or not, because he's telling you up front. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. If we were to rewrite this, I set before you this day life and death. That's your two choices. Good and evil. That's your two choices. That's all you get. You're either good or you're evil. You choose life or you choose death. You choose to be blessed or you choose to be cursed. So he tells us what qualifies. If you obey his commandments, you shall be blessed. If you obey his commandments, you shall have life. If you obey his commandments, you shall receive good. But if you disobey his commandments, you shall receive death. If you disobey his commandments, you shall do evil. If you disobey his commandments, you shall be cursed. So he says, I set before you this day life and good. Let's get one more place. I want us to make sure that we understand that this note, you don't have this abundance of choices that you can just, you know, and that you have time to do wickedness, because the Most High is the Elohim of his word. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to get one verse out of here. Verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I want you to understand that the Most High wants us to be clear to us. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. I've set this choice before you. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. You only got two choices in this life. You choose life in Elohim, or you choose death. If you choose life, you will receive blessings. You will receive good. If you choose death, you choose to disobey, then you choose death. There is no in-between. The Most High didn't give us any other choices. So when it comes to Messiah, and Messiah is coming back to set this thing right, when he first came, he said, I'm coming that you might have life, that you have a chance to get life again, because right now you are in debt. Everybody who is in sin is walking around dead, and they just don't know it. So we got to understand that we being his children, he has told us, baby, you got two choices. You can choose life, or you can choose death. Choose life, that you might be blessed, that you might have a long life, that you might have a good life, might have a blessed life. Obey my commandments. This is why it's critical that we know what they are, so that we don't transgress. Because when we transgress, we have chosen death. I mean, this thing is not that hard. It's not complicated. You just need the information to know what you can and cannot do. and choose to do good all the time. Choose to obey the Most High all the time. Don't even leave it, give yourself a choice, because the other choice is what? Death. Spiritually, physically, in this life, and in the life to come. See, if we believe the Most High, and if we believe His Word, then we have to believe that there's a life to come. This is not the only life. The Scriptures tell us, hey, if you don't believe that, you better have the best time that you can here. Because this is all there is for you if you don't believe that there's another life after this one. If you don't believe that the Most High is going to resurrect everyone. If that's your heart, you better party and do whatever you need to do now, whatever's going to make you happy. Because you are already dead and you're dead in the next world. So we have to understand this thing. The Most High never gave us, He only gave us the multiple choice was life or death. That's the choice. No in between. No, I'm kind of trying to make it. No, I'm kind of trying to do good. He never gave that option. We want to be better. We want to do better. So we have the information. We have the requirement. We have the tasking. And the Most High is simply saying to everyone, whether you be Jew or Gentile, choose life. We're supposed to be teaching people life. We're supposed to be teaching people how to come into life and how to win their life back from Satan, but really to get right with the Most High. That is what our job is. You're talking about people's eternity. Because Most High said, yeah, you know, this is a proving ground right here. You need to choose life in this time. Because this is a proving ground. I come to prove you if you will obey my voice or not. Because I'm going to resurrect everything and everybody. And everybody that chose death, they get death in the next world. They don't get to wake up and say, I'm sorry. They don't get to wake up and say, I repent. They don't get to wake up and say, can I have a second chance? Once the Most High starts judging, it is done. And He's not taking plea bargaining. He's not taking, I need a do-over. I gave you a choice. I told you, I set before you these two choices, life or death. Nothing in between. So it's imperative that we understand this as we read His law, as we read His statutes. As we pray to Him to reveal His word to us, that we write it in our hearts and in our minds that we should do it. Don't second guess yourself, because what you would do is find yourself choosing death. That's the problem with Israel. What's the problem with Israel? They second-guess the Most High. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if that is the best choice. The Most High said, I'm giving my statutes, my laws, and my commandments, my judgments. They are righteous. You may not understand why they're righteous, but they are righteous. You may not understand how they give you life. You may think that some of them are harsh. Because of your imperfection, because of your capacity to sin. Because if your capacity or the need to have mercy, because you keep choosing to transgress. Now we're, you know, again, can't overstate this, where we transgress ignorantly, the Most High is not unjust. He don't just say, oh, you transgress, bam, you're dead. He says, if you didn't know what you were doing, let me see if you knew what you were doing. And if you didn't know it, he says, okay, you know it now, so stop. Repent of it. Turn away from it. But if you knew, you said, uh-uh, that's a horse of a different color. You knew and you willingly, intentionally disobeyed my voice. He says, there's only two choices I gave you, life and death. Let's go back up here to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. Let's drum this thing in. Verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim. Only two choices all mankind has. But especially Israel, because the Most High gave it to Israel to give to the rest of the world. Now think about this. Your priesthood is corrupt. The ones that you chose to give the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, the one that you chose to give life to the world, they themselves are corrupt. I got to do a work. So I'll come myself and I'll pay the price. Now I set before you again life and death. Choose life. Choose Messiah and choose life and choose to keep and obey my commandments. Not choose Messiah and then you still got a choice to not obey. You see how stupid the church, that's why he calls it that wild olive tree. I mean, Israel is without excuse. But the gospel has been spread through the church. The Most High is waking Israel up in the last days that the church might receive its sight again. That we might show them the path to life. And it is not in doing away with the law. It's foolishness. So each one of us, you got to understand from the outset of this, you have two choices, life or death. No in between. Don't try to fool yourself with anything else. Don't try to say that, oh, the Most High is so merciful that he's going to always forgive me because he came and made a way. And the problem is that people are coming to him in ignorance, in a lack of knowledge. And then they don't study to show themselves approved. They just go by what somebody tells them. And that person themselves that can teach them that you don't have to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments are teaching them that because they don't keep it. They don't keep them. They don't obey his voice. Don't know who they're hearing from. Maybe that's his will. But you are here today because the Most High wants you to obey. He wants you to hear his voice and to obey, to write these things into your heart, into your mind. All right. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19, and then we're going to start this thing, because these are some things that I want to drum into us so that we know, because we got a problem with our children. Why? Because we're not teaching them this very thing right here. They don't have a fear of the Most High, because they weren't taught to have a fear of the Most High. They weren't taught that Yah says, Yah tells us to not to fear anything but Him. He tells the children to fear their parents. He tells the parents to fear Him and their parents. That's the only thing we're supposed to fear in this life. So if we are not teaching them, how are they going to have that fear? If they truly don't believe that the Most High will be displeased and will kill them, how are they going to have a fear of Him? Because see, we want that loving God, but that's not who is in this book. That's not how He wants you, want us to portray Him. I will bless you if you obey. I will curse you if you don't. It's just that simple. And we want to, you know, confuse the issue. We want to distort it because, we're sometimes. Sometimes we obey, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we choose to do right, sometimes we don't. Depends upon whether it's in, quote unquote, to our benefit or not. But that's not the Elohim of this book. It's not the Elohim that we swore ourselves to. It's not His standard. It's not His way. And we, all of us, when we choose to not obey His voice, we choose to put our own righteousness over His, what we think is right over His. That's what He's saying. Oh, you think what you think is more right than what I told you. And you just chose death because you are in transgression. You didn't do what I told you to do. So this is not difficult. It's not complicated. We want to make this thing where it is simple for every person that hears it. The expectation. You need to choose life or you can choose death. The choice is yours. Messiah says, that's why I said when we read Romans chapter 14, so I don't want you arguing about these things. If somebody chooses death and they say they belong to me, let them choose death. Don't even argue with them. So I am now the Elohim of the living and the dead. And every man's going to have to come before me for judgment. So let them do what they think is right in their own minds rather than obey what I have said. That's why I say Romans chapter 14 is a test. Are you going to obey my voice or are you going to do what you think is right? You're going to do what you esteem. One man esteems one day over another. I told you to esteem the Sabbath. We got to understand the Most High wants to know what's in your heart. Is it to do what you think is right versus what He has said, this is right. In my eyes, this is what's right. This is what's righteous. Choose life. Each and every one of us. Choose life. Move yourself out the way. Move that old man out the way. Matter of fact, kill him. Because he will bring you death. Move him out the way. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim. A curse if you will not obey. Simple. Nobody should have, unless we are mentally impaired. Nobody should have a problem understanding that and hearing that. Now, whether you do that, that's a whole nother story. But it's very simple. Let us go to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 1. And you can start writing these down. Well, I hope you wrote down the verses we've already talked about and keep them before you always. Those are your choices. Want to make it real simple. Yeah, have those before you always. I got two choices in everything that I do. I can either obey the Most High or not obey Him. If I obey Him, I will be blessed. If I disobey Him, I will be cursed. If I obey Him, I will have life. If I disobey Him, I will have death. Keep those always before you because those are your only choices. Your only two real choices, those only ones the Most High gave you. Anything you make up outside of that, that's on you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. The book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28. And Elohim blessed them, Adam and Eve. And Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. This is a commandment. And replenish the earth, and to subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that creepeth or that moves upon the earth. Be fruitful. Anything when the Most High says be, it means to do. That means that when a man and woman come together in a rightful relationship before the Most High is to be fruitful and to multiply. Children are your blessing to the Most High. You got a lot of people out there, and we know why. We know we're in the world we're living in the times. The situations, we are in this world, and because we were not in the Word of the Most High, and I say, well, I don't want to bring a child into this world, or got people out there that don't want to multiply. Well, this world is no place to bring a child into. The Most High didn't ask you that. Most High said, for mankind, the first commandment is to be fruitful and multiply. And then he gives us the rules for that later on. Hey, you know, Adam woke up. Adam could not have had another woman, and Eve could not have had another husband. Adam went to sleep and woke up married. Woke up with a wife. From his own body. And the Most High said, be fruitful and multiply. Now I want everybody to understand that Genesis chapter 1 is an overview chapter. It's the overview of the process. Chapter 2 starts going into more detail. Chapter 3 into the fall. Because a lot of times people will read Genesis chapter 1 and for whatever the reason they just get confused. Adam and Eve are not even really, Eve is not even created at this point. But he's talking about man. So he's giving an overview, but he wants man to be fruitful and to multiply. And he don't want them to multiply and be wicked and evil. And that was the problem with this first generation of man. Their hearts and their thoughts became continually evil. They were multiplying, but they weren't turning out too good. So the Most High wants us as a commandment to be fruitful and multiply. You know, we got people teaching their daughters and their sons. Some people teaching their sons as well. You don't want to have a whole lot of children. You don't want to have, a big family. But the Most High wants us to. He says every child you have is a blessing to Him. And he said, well, Brother Miles, that's easy for you to say. You ain't got to push these things out. No, I don't. But Yah didn't make me a woman either. He didn't fit my body to do that. So be fruitful and multiply. It's a command. Now, Abraham would have understood this. Sarah would have understood this. Then you can see why Sarah did what she did. I can't have children, so I'm going to give you this other woman. And these days, I own her. She is my bondservant. She owned this woman. Hagar couldn't just leave and go do what she wanted to do. So Sarah says, I'm going to take her, and I'm going to give her to my husband, and he's going to lie with her. And when it comes time for her to deliver, I'm going to put her between my legs as she's delivering. It's going to be as though I am delivering. Because she wanted to fulfill Genesis 1:28. But Yah had told her, I'm going to give you and Abraham a child. Let's go to Genesis chapter 32. So, be fruitful and multiply. Genesis chapter 32, verse 33. Genesis 32 and 33. And I guess I should get into the right chapter here. Actually, this should be Genesis 32 and 32, not 32 and 33. Genesis 32 and 32. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank. That's the sinew from the thigh of an animal, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now, I'm going to put a question mark besides that one. Because this is more so of a tradition. Let's read the verses above it. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee thy name. He's asking the Most High his name. And he said, why or wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? Why are you asking my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen Elohim face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his side. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now, the Most High, we don't have any commandment here not to eat that. The people, our forefathers, chose not to eat it in remembrance of how the Most High strengthened in you and made Jacob limp. But the Most High did not give a commandment here not to eat the sinew. Can everybody see the difference there? This is something that men decided to do. So we won't accept this one as a commandment. This is a tradition and not a commandment. So let me write in my little document here. Tradition. And remember, Messiah accuses our forefathers of coming up with their own traditions. And, this tradition right here doesn't break a commandment, but it's not a commandment. But when you go into some places that teach the law, they will tell you that, hey, it's a law. You can't eat that sinew. But the Most High didn't say don't do it. So this is a tradition. I pray everybody can understand that. Keep the verse, but identify it as a tradition and why. The Most High didn't say don't do it. So this is the people saying, hey, because we want to remember what the Most High did to Jacob, then we won't eat the sinew from the hollow of the thigh. But there is no such commandment to do that. Okay. The book of Exodus, chapter 12. Now let's get verse 2. Actually, let's get verses 1 and 2. And Yah spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. There was no such month. It's called Abib. Abib means earring. So he's saying observe the month of earring. That's when the ears were on the corn. It's also when the wheat was ripening. It's also coming up and the barley was ripe. The name that we know that month by in the Hebrew now is Nisan. The month of Nisan. In the Bible, it's going to say the month of Abib. But when you look up the word Abib, it actually means earring. In the month that the barley was becoming ripe. So we're to observe that and know that that is the beginning of months. That's the beginning of the year. Not January. Not according to the Gregorian calendar. Because the Hebrew calendar and the Gregorian calendar don't match. The Gregorian calendar starts in the middle of the winter. The Hebrew calendar starts at the beginning of spring. Two different calendars. So we have to understand that. He gave us the time when he brought us out of Egypt. It was during the time that the barley harvest was coming ripe. The ears of corn were coming on the corn stalks. And that was in the beginning of spring. So that is a law. That's when we start our years. Not in January with the rest of the world. And excuse me while I type some things here. Okay. Let us go to same chapter, verse 6. Now, we have the laws here. Let's just continue because we can do it this way. Verse 3. To all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now, we know that the law for this was not established right here, but it was established as a law that we would do this perpetually. Until Messiah came. And if the house be too little for a lamb, let him and his next door, and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. So when we are able to fully keep Passover again, and the Most High will reinstitute this in the millennial kingdom, we won't be doing it to remember coming out of Egypt. We will actually be doing it to remember Messiah. But our forefathers were told to do this and to take a whole lamb for a household. And if the household was too small, he says, okay, then combine houses. But y'all gonna spend the night together. You're not gonna carry this lamb out. You're not gonna have leftovers. Now, in this case, he's preparing them to leave Egypt. And he's gonna use the blood of these lambs to cover them. He said, but these lambs ain't going to, you know, you're just going to kill these lambs and take their blood and put it on the doorpost. No, that life, we can't just waste that life like that. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Now, I want us to understand this when we look at ourselves and we call ourselves that living sacrifice. We want to make ourselves to be without blemish. Whatever's in our life. Let me stop. Let me just stick to the law. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day. So on the 10th day of the month, everybody was supposed to go get their lamb. That was a law. That was a law. The lamb had to be without blemish. Okay, so let's identify the law in these verses. If a household be too little for the lamb, let him and a neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. So if your household wasn't big enough to eat this whole lamb, the Most High says, because you can't leave none of it, then combine houses. Come together and everyone's going to eat this lamb together so that none of it goes to waste. That was a law. Your lamb shall be without blemish. That's a law. A male of the first year, that's a law. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. You can't use a cow. You can't use some other animal. It shall be a sheep or a goat. So we could put all this together, and that would be one law in verse 5. A lamb without blemish of the first year. It could be a sheep or a goat. The day that you're going to go get it is the 10th day of the month. We get that from verse 3. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, you're going to go get a lamb without blemish. A male. Couldn't be a female. Had to be a male. Verse 6. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. So on the 10th day, you go get your lamb, a male. It could be a lamb of the goats or a lamb of the sheep. It couldn't be crippled, blinded. You had to go and pick one that was not marred. And then you're going to hold it until the 14th day. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. At the same time, as the sun begins to set. You know, if you're trying to coordinate something, then you say, okay, at 6 p.m., everybody's going to kill their lamb. The beginning of the next day. And they shall take up the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. Now, at this time, this is a law. You got to do this. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, not boiled, not fried, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw. You know how some people like their meat almost still moving? The most I don't like for us to eat anything that still has the blood in it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, not boiled. But specifically, what? Roasted with fire. You couldn't do it any other way, or else you would be in transgression. His head with his legs. Don't cut off the head. Don't cut off the legs. And with the pertinence thereof, the inside. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. Cook it and eat it all. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. Can't have leftovers. But he really wanted you to come together and make sure there was nothing left over. But anything that was left over, you were to burn it. Couldn't pack it up and take it with you. Couldn't say, oh, let me put some saran wrap on this or wrap it in a sheepskin. Nobody ate this leg. You were supposed to burn it. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded. Now, this is why I say when we're doing the Passover, if we're doing the Passover in remembrance of it, then this Passover feast is not a feast that you eat leisurely. To commemorate, you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. If you are commemorating it, we're about to get up out of here. That's what it represents. And you shall eat it in haste, in a hurry. It is Yah's Passover. So when we want to remember why our forefathers did a certain thing, we tell the story, but we also reenact it. And we don't do the Passover and sit down and have a big meal and get full, and because that's not teaching your children what this was all about. Now, it's God's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the Elohims of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yah. So our forefathers were to take a lamb. Remember that the month of Abib or the month of Nisan was the first month of the year. We're supposed to remember that as a law. That's when your year starts. I don't care what the world says. For you, my people, this is when the beginning of the year for you. And in the beginning of that year, on the 10th day of the beginning of the year, the first month, everybody go get a lamb. Has to be a male. It can be a goat or a sheep. The lamb of a goat or a lamb of the sheep. And it must be without blemish. You don't want one with a broken horn. Or one that's lame and, you know, hobbling around. Got all kind of ticks or anything like that on it. And then you're going to bring it and keep it until the 14th day. And on the 14th day of the month, you shall all kill it in the evening at the same time. And then you're going to roast it. You're not going to fry it. You're not going to boil it. But you're going to roast it. And in this case, his head, his legs, everything with the pertinence therein, the inside. This is what they were supposed to do. Okay, so to slaughter the lamb, must be a male, must be without blemish. The day to do it, go get it on the 10th, sacrifice it on the 14th. Now, the Most High, when we come into the New Testament, and it's good that you write these things down. And it will be, as we go through this, we will get into the sacrifices. It will be good for you to pay attention there because all of these things are a type and a shadow of Messiah. Messiah would enter into, right before his crucifixion, his death, right before his death, he would enter into Jerusalem on the 10th day of the month. Yah would bring him into Jerusalem when the Passover lambs are being gathered. He would be crucified on the Passover, just as the sacrificial lambs. So these days are important because they're important to the Most High. And they're not just, Most High didn't say arbitrarily, oh, this is going to be the first day or the first month of the year. It's not an arbitrary date that he's picking. These days have significance. And that's why there are a law to remember them. Because they're also prophetic. Let's go to verse 18. No. Let's just continue to read, okay? Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, think about this. Anybody that was disobedient on this night, guess what happened? Somebody died in their house. The firstborn in their house died. Didn't matter whether you were a Hebrew or a Gentile. If it didn't matter whether you were in jail. If the jailer didn't put blood upon your door and you were the firstborn in Egypt and you were a Hebrew as well and you happen to be in jail, you died. This day shall be for a memorial. Verse 13. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is the Passover. Death is going to pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to Yah throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now, we cannot sacrifice, and we don't sacrifice animals for sin. And I found the scripture. I'm still looking for it again, because sometimes the Most High allows me to see something, and if I don't write it down, then I got to go back and find it again. But we cannot sacrifice animals outside in our captivity, because it's a law that we have to bring them to the door of the tabernacle. So we can't go out into the wilderness and say, oh, we're going to go buy a lamb, and we're going to sacrifice it to the Most High. Can't do it. Because there's another law that says that you have to bring it to the tabernacle, the door of the tabernacle, or to the door of the temple. And since we don't have that in this land, then we can't make those sacrifices, like for the peace offering and things like that. But we're supposed to keep it. It's a law that we keep this a memorial for how long? Forever. So even when we're in the land of our captivity, we don't kill the lamb because Messiah is our lamb. He paid the price for our sins to cover us. But we still have to memorialize this day. We do that in Yah's Supper. We remember Messiah's death. That's why I said people have been abusing the Passover, not realizing the change in it. Rather than memorializing the death of a lamb, Messiah said, as often as you do this in remembrance of my death, that I am your Passover lamb. Who celebrates death? That's why the Most High said, do this in haste. Do it in a hurry. A lot of people going to die tonight. We getting up out of here. Memorialize this and remember why, when and why and what for this was done. And then when we bring it, when the fullness of it comes, when Messiah comes, then you're going to remember for that. Okay, so we're required to. It's a law to make this a memorial forever. Now the Most High says, in the future, he's going to change the reason that we keep this. No longer will you be telling people, your children, and teaching them that I brought you out of Egypt on this day. He's going to do another work on this day. Amen. Amen. He's going to gather us out of all the nations. He's going to change the purpose for this holiday, for this memorial. I'm going to gather you out of all the nations of the world. Amen, Most High. Amen. 7 days. Verse 15. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So 7 days, we have to, it's a commandment, starting with the Passover as the first day of unleavened. Because you can't eat the Passover with unleavened, with leavened bread. And the way it was written, the Most High corrects this in Deuteronomy, but the way it was written, people say, oh, the Passover, and now we're commanded to keep another 7 days. But the scripture clears itself up, and then when you come into the New Testament, the New Testament itself tells you that the Passover is the first day of unleavened. from the 14th to the 21st, 7 days. But because people were cherry-picking scripture, they were going to one place and saying, oh, here's where he established that, as though the Most High couldn't change it, couldn't amend it, couldn't clarify. Oh, you've been doing that kind of wrong. I didn't mean for you to keep 8 days there. I know I told you the 15th was the Feast of Unleavened. 7 days. But the intent was that the Passover would be the first day of the Feast of Unleavened. And you would keep it for 7 days. Different places. 7 days you shall eat unleavened. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off. Cut off means that you're no longer my people. You no longer, you're just a Hebrew, but you're not a Hebrew Israelite. You lose your citizenship. Now this one didn't, you might as well say, if you were Israel, this is like a death sentence. You are a person without a country. The Most High says, I'm not going to honor anything you do because you are out of the promise. I cut you off from the promise. Somehow, that word cut off don't mean anything to anybody. If I cut you off from my promise, the promise no longer applies to you. You no longer belong to me. This is serious. It's like we read over this word cut off from Israel, and it's like our people, like it just never was said, but it's very serious. You don't belong to me anymore. The promises I made don't apply to you. You're no longer part of my people. That's cut off. And unless the Most High provides a way for you to come back in, there's no way back in. Life and death thing is. So, you ate unleavened bread? I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to disown you. Because I told you don't do it for these 7 days. And I told you the penalty is what? You shall be cut off from Israel. He'll say it another way. You shall be cut off from your people. Are you still a Hebrew? Yeah. But you are no longer an Israelite. If you were a Gentile and you joined yourself to Israel and you agreed to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, and you did this and you do this, rather than you being as one in the land, as a homeborn, because this is what the Most High says, when a stranger joins Israel and they want to be part of, then they agree to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. The same law applies to them. And if they break it, they're cut off because they're no longer part of Israel anymore. Not saying you're no longer part of the people you were born to, but you said you changed nationality. You changed your obedience. You changed the word I'm looking for here. Your loyalty. I'm no longer loyal to this nation over here. I'm loyal to this nation. I have defected from the nation that I was born into, and I have joined to this nation, just like you were, maybe you were a Russian citizen and you no longer wanted to be Russian, you defected. I'm no longer going to obey the laws of Russia. I'm no longer going to have loyalty to Russia. I'm going to obey the laws of the United States, and I'm an American citizen. It's the same thing. So he says, if you are a Hebrew, and you disobey this commandment, and you have unleavened in your house from the 14th day into the 21st day of the first month. Then you shall be cut off from your people. You no longer belong to me. That's serious. It's a law. It's a commandment. With a penalty. And the penalty is what? You're cut off. So yeah, you're a Hebrew, but you ain't a Hebrew Israelite. You lost your citizenship. You're no longer one of us. Not a joking thing. Get out. You chose death. Now, here's some more seriousness. Verse 16. In the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation to you. That means you can't go and do whatever you want to on the first day. It is hallowed. You should be planning your life around, I'm taking this day off, and I'm taking that day off. You can't say you belong to the people of the Most High. You can't say you belong to the Most High. And this is a perpetual commandment. So your vacation days can't be geared around what you want to take, when you want to take it. Because you have some obligation. And at least on these days, you know, I'm of the mind of now. If you're working for somebody and you get vacation days, you get sick days, then you should be pre-planning. I know that we're celebrating this on this day and this on this day. This is going to be a vacation day. This is going to be a sick day. Or this is going to be a personal day. So that I can keep the commandment of the Most High. Hear what I'm saying. It's not an option. Now, if you work for a place that they don't have vacation, or if you're self-employed, hey, you are without excuse because you make up your own days. And you can tell the people that, you know, your clients say, I'm closed this day. Not available. If you are on the job for the man and they give you vacation or they give you sick days, then you have to plan that stuff, your vacation days and your sick days around the days of the Most High. I pray we can hear this because it takes planning. That's why I try to put out the yearly calendar as far in advance as possible so that you can plan. Because these are not optional days. The first day shall be a holy convocation and the seventh day. So the 14th and the 21st. They're holy convocations. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. So you can cook your meal on the 14th day and you can cook your meal on the 21st day. But you ain't supposed to be doing nothing else. In order to comply with this, that means you got to plan it. It's serious. And you can tell your job, these days I won't be here. Ahead of time. And you giving them sufficient warning. Sorry, but if you need me that day, I'm not going to be here. I'm telling you ahead of time. So you have to call somebody else in. And it's your right. It's like taking off the Sabbath. It's your right. And by law, they're supposed to do it in as much as possible. Let's keep going. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generation for an ordinance forever. This day is really 7 days, but he's saying the first day and the seventh day, you can't work. The days in between, those 5 days in between, you can work. It's still part of the feast. You're not supposed to eat unleavened, but the first day and the seventh day, you are not supposed to work. That means you got to plan it. And you got to put in for it. And if it means a day without pay, take the day without pay rather than transgress. Yah will make it up to you. You're not going to go hungry. You're not going to go out on the street. He will make it up to you because of your obedience. But this is an ordinance. How long? Forever. So if you claim to be Israel, this is not an option. That's why I said, if you're not going to come and keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, if you're not going to do them, don't claim to be his people. Because he didn't say it was up to you whether you kept it or not. He said, this is, you obey my voice in everything. I said the 14th day and the 7th day are no work days. You can't let the world dictate to you otherwise. I pray we can hear this. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day. So see, the 14th through the 21st, that's 7 days. Somehow when he said the 15th day is the Feast of Unleavened, then people start counting 7 days from the 15th. But he tells you that the feast runs from the 14th to the 21st day. Seven days shall be no leaven found in your house. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. So the Most High, right from the beginning, understood that people would be coming and joining the nation. People would hear and fear him, and they would want to do the right thing. They would want to come close. They would want to keep Passover. And he says, hey, you're going to hear other laws that if they want to come close, then all their males have to be circumcised. That's why I said, even today, you just can't invite anybody to the Passover. It's not a feast for everyone, only in Messiah. But if they're keeping the Passover for Israel and then the Lord's Supper, they can't take part in the Passover. You don't invite just anybody into the Passover because this is an ordinance forever. And so if they're not going to not eat unleavened bread for the 7 days, they can't take part in the Passover. They can't take part in the Feast of Unleavened. There's laws to this. There's rules and there's laws that if you break this rule, you're cut off, even if you are a Gentile. So let's read that part again so that we have understanding, because, you know, we be doing some crazy stuff. And this very same ordinance, I was teaching it to a church, one of my brothers, and I said, you know, you got a good heart. I said, but, you know, you can't just do some things because it seems right to you to do it in your own mind. There are some requirements that go along with this stuff. So if y'all not going to put away unleavened 7 days, both you, your congregation, whether they be Jew or Gentile, whether they be Hebrew or Gentile, then no, you don't want to keep the Passover. Didn't really want to hear that. But oh well, I need to give you life and not death. I need to teach you that you just can't do what you want to do because it seems right. You want to keep, do the Lord's Supper or Yah's Supper? Then you do it in remembrance of his death. And you can do that on the Passover if you want. But you can't say you're keeping the Feast of Unleavened. Because you're required to keep that 7 days. What did it say? Whether you be a stranger or born in the land. And if you don't do that, then you shall be cut off from the congregation. Shall be cut off from your people. See, a lot of Christians want to do certain things and not realizing that, wait a minute, am I fulfilling the requirements of this feast? Well, I'm just going to have a holiday and I'm going to put the Most High's name on it and don't understand that you are out of order. Let's continue. Verse 19 again. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations you shall eat unleavened bread. Okay, now the rest of this chapter is them going through and actually fulfilling these requirements. But the rules for the Passover. On the 10th day of the first month, you're going to go get your lamb. And it got to be a male. Whether it's a goat or a sheep, don't matter. It should not have any blemish. That means you're not going to go get one with a broke leg or a broke horn or if they got a horn or whatever that would cause that animal not to be the way that it was supposed to be naturally. Maybe somebody, you know, hit it with a stick and broke his leg. Can't get that one. Maybe it ran into a bush and blinded itself in one eye. You can't get that one. So you're going to have to inspect it and make sure that, oh, yeah, two eyes, nose, teeth look okay, legs look all right. Yep, it's got a tail. It wasn't born without a tail. This one is acceptable. On the 14th day, as a group, as a congregation, everybody's going to slay the Passover at the same time. That's why we should come together as a group and we do these things at the same time. And it's not to have a feast where we're there and we're not recognizing why we are remembering this. We're remembering that the Most High was about to do something terrible. A lot of lambs died, and now a lot of the firstborn in Israel, in Egypt, are going to die. And he says, I want you to eat it all because I'm also preparing you for a journey. Have your shoes on. Have your clothes on. Your loins girded. Your clothes on. Not your nightgown. Your staff in your hand, ready to go. And eat it in haste. We're supposed to be memorializing that. But we sit down, we prepare a big feast, and then we can't even move. We try to unbuckle our button on our clothes because we done ate so much we can't even move. If the Most High said, get up and move now, we have a problem. But we're memorializing, so we're remembering what the intent of it was, what the Most High did. He brought us out on this night. in a hurry. And we done leavened because we didn't even have time to let the dough rise. We didn't put any yeast in it to leaven it so that it would rise. We made the dough and then we cooked it. Couldn't give it time to rise. This meal had to be prepared, and we had to do it, and we had to be ready to go. So he's going to memorialize that, and he said 7 days. The first day is a holy convocation, no work. The seventh day is a holy convocation, no work, except for what you're going to prepare to eat. That's all the work you can do. And if you break that, he says, you shall be cut off. If you don't keep the first day and the seventh day holy, you're cut off. If you don't keep all 7 days unleavened, you're cut off. Serious stuff. And how long is it supposed to go on? Forever. So even when we're in the lands of our captivity, we're still supposed to be observing this. And in the New Testament, right now, let's say we don't have the New Testament, we would be killing a lamb. So we know this is one that changes, but know that you have to observe. Take the leaven out of your house on the first day. Replace it with unleavened. You can cook your meal. You remember the Passover. You recite the Passover. You recite what the Most High did for us. You don't go to work that day. Next day you can get up. You can't eat no unleavened bread. But you can still go to work. You still get up and do things until the seventh day. And you can't work again that day. No work on that day. So I pray we can understand this. This is not just for that time. Even Messiah didn't do away with this day. But the sacrifice was done away with. The sin sacrifice, the covering in the blood, that was done away with. He took that place. But we're still to remember it, and then we're to remember his death in it. I became that lamb that you killed. You are now covered in my blood. The blood of the new covenant. And he also changes that we don't just have to remember it on the Passover. He says, as often as you do it. Some men have interpreted that you only do it on the Passover. But that's not what the scripture actually says. So let's continue. What time we got? Oh, we got 9:46. All right. We are drop down to verse 43. Let me make sure that I want to. Okay, yeah, this is, now the verses in between where we're dropping down to, we know that the Most High came and passed over the land, firstborn died in all of Egypt. And they come out on the 15th. But we're looking for the laws. Let's go back to verse 40. A little bit of historical context so we can understand. I said days are important. Now the sojourning, this word sojourning means to visit, to stay in. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. This is important in relationship to prophecy and into a prophecy that the Most High gave to Abraham. The Most High does not throw hand grenades. He does not just try to get close and blow you up. Says that their sojourning was 430 years. He told Abraham that they would be in bondage for 400 years. The Most High, it has to happen exactly as he said. So there's another exodus. There's another bondage, and there's another exodus. Because our forefathers were not in slavery, in bondage in Egypt at this time for 400 years. But that's a whole nother lesson. But we get this 430 years. And we can tell, we can go to the book of Galatians, and we're told what makes up these 430 years. It's from the time that Abraham received the promise until Moses was given the law to the date. 430 years. They were not in Egypt all of that time. In bondage. Okay, verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Yah went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto Yah for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yah to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generation. You're going to remember this Passover. Yah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. When it's talking about a stranger, it's talking about one that has not joined themselves to Israel. This is a person that is visiting the land. This is a person that has come to the land to work, but they don't intend to join the nation. They're just there. They can't take part in it. They're not keeping the ordinances, the 7 days of unleavened. They're not going to give them a lamb on the 10th day of the month. They're not killing it with Israel on the 14th day of the month. They're not removing leaven from their house on the first day of the month. They're not working on the 14th day of the month. They're still working. On the 21st day of the month, they're still working. It's not a holy convocation to them. They can't eat of it. So you can't just go get your friend and say, you know, I want to invite you to the Passover. You can't do that. Okay? You have to teach them about it. They have to agree to it, and they have to agree to keep all the ordinances of it. Then they can come. Now at this time, and when we get into Deuteronomy, we'll see that Moses further clarifies this. But every man's servant that is bought with money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. When they first came out, there was, you know, if you didn't come out of Egypt with Israel, and they came out a mixed multitude, and you're going through the lands, they couldn't just join in. The only way that you could become part of the nation at this time was that you were either taken in war or you were bought with money. And then you still had to be circumcised. So whoever bought that person, that male, It was his property. He had to make sure that that male was circumcised. You are property in Egypt. You are part and property. You are property in Israel. You are part of Israel now. You know, you're not your own, and I'm about to circumcise you. Grab him and hold him. And it was a done deal. That person that was bought didn't get to say whether they wanted to or not. You're going to be circumcised. Wasn't even a question. The next verse, a foreigner, somebody visiting, or somebody just there to work, a hired servant. That manservant wasn't a hired servant. They were truly, quote unquote, a slave. They weren't a hireling. They weren't there just to work. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. They have not come into covenant. They are not agreeing to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. They are not agreeing to keep the ordinances of the Passover. So you just can't invite them. And you know, even today, I had a roommate, well, the man that I went and stayed with when I was in New York, he was renting me a room, and Passover came up, and he says, what are you, I said, I'm keeping the Passover. And I said, but you can't keep it with me. I said, because you haven't agreed to these things. I said, and then you told me that you were uncircumcised. So you can't keep it. And I could see it in his eyes. He was kind of offended. I said, now, we can keep Yah's Supper together in Messiah, but you can't keep this portion with me. And, you know, we were tight. We had a good relationship. I kept Sabbath. He started keeping Sabbath. He was a devout Catholic. He's not a devout Catholic anymore. But I told him, I said, you can't keep this with me. It'll be a violation. And, yeah, I could see it in his eyes that it hurt him. I said, you have to agree to do these things. And we've not talked about these things. And so, you know, I can teach you about it. Then if you want to come close and keep it, you can. Next year. Not this year. And we have to stick to those things. You know, I could have said, oh, yeah, just come on. You know, you can go ahead and celebrate it with me. You can keep it with me. I know you haven't been doing it. No. I don't want to be in trouble with the Most High Elohim. Verse 46. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of the house. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Verse 48. Now the rule for the person that sojourns and wants to come close. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, shall live with you, and will keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be circumcised. It's a requirement. And then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. You know, I found a lot of Hebrew brothers that weren't circumcised, saying that they were Hebrew Israelites, saying they're brothers, and you're not circumcised, brother, and you're taking part in the Passover. Do you not have any fear? I won't keep it with you. One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth, that lives with you, that has moved into the land, moved into the community, and they want to come close. Got to be circumcised, brethren. Then you got to be willing to keep unleavened for 7 days. You got to also want to take off the first and the 14th day. You want to be part? You got to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. There's no second guessing that. There's no, oh, well, we'll make an exception to that. All right, we're going to stop here for this morning. On this evening, it is the new moon service. So prepare, well, you should already have prepared your Sabbath meal yesterday. But have your wine or your grape juice, if you're no longer drinking. Let us come together and celebrate the Most High on this evening. This is a law also that we keep the new moon. It's just as important as keeping the Sabbath. But somehow, somewhere, all my law-keeping brothers and sisters, again, because they got it from one place and they don't go through the scriptures and the Most High maybe just hasn't convicted them. What am I going to say? This is on the same par as the Sabbath. We are commanded to keep the Sabbath. It's on the same par as the Passover. It is a Sabbath within itself. A holy day. So we will be observing on this evening. Have your meal ready. Have your unleavened for Messiah's, the observance of Yah's Supper, remembrance of Messiah and him being our Passover. Let us reaffirm, if we have sinned ignorantly during this past month, we want to ask the Most High to forgive us our sins that we did ignorantly, that we now know that we must do and we will do them. We weren't keeping them before because we didn't know to keep them. Or maybe we just didn't believe we had to keep them. But we want to reaffirm in the beginning of each month our walk with the Most High. We want to specifically ask for the forgiveness of our sins. As I said, those that are done ignorantly. I'm not going to ask the Most High to forgive you something that you knew you were doing wrong. That's between you and him at that point. And invite people that they might learn of the Most High, that they might come and celebrate with us. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your word. We thank you for setting before us two clear choices, Father, life or death, blessing or curses, good or evil. You have made it perfectly clear that if we obey your voice and keep your commandments, that we shall be blessed and we shall have life and have a good life. But if we are disobedient, we shall be cursed and we shall receive death and evil. Father, we see our two choices. We will obey you, as you said, choose life. Let each and every person obey your voice and choose life. Keep your commandments. Father, we thank you for being steadfast, a rock unchanging, that we don't have to guess what you're doing today, because you say you are Elohim and you change not. So these things are, two choices are before us, Father. Let each and every one of us choose life. Father, bless and keep each and every individual. Put a hedge of protection around their homes, around their families, Father, that they may not have any form of disappointment, sorrow, or hurt in their lives. That their families are protected for their sake, because they choose to obey you. As we go now, Father, encamp your angels around us. Keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, family, remember, I love you. But Yah Elohim loves you way more, and he wants you to have life. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have a good life. He does not want to curse you. Be obedient to our Father. Obey his commands. Write them in your heart. Shalom, family.